Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. The words of an old Don Williams song state, "I don't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate, but I believe in love." This lyric is in perfect harmony with a recent survey in which two-thirds of evangelicals that were surveyed doubted Jesus' words regarding salvation through him alone. More than 1,000 adults 18 years of age and older were asked, "Do you believe good people," quote, "good people of other faiths, can also go to heaven when they die?" BeliefNet spokesman John Wallman said he was amazed that 68% of evangelical Christians said yes to the question. When asked, "Do you believe good people of other faiths can also go to heaven when they die?" On a national basis, 79% of those surveyed said yes, with an astounding 91% of Catholics saying yes to the question. Apparently, the majority of Christians no longer believe the words of Jesus in John 14:6, where he states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." Wallman writes that evangelicals are among the most church-going and religiously attentive people in the nation, and one of the ideas that they're most likely to hear on any given Sunday is that Jesus is the only path to salvation. In light of that, he asks, how could so many Americans toss aside such a central element of theology, that is, that Jesus is the only path to salvation? In fact, the Bible says in Acts 4:12 that there is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Wallman believes the best explanation is found in the Newsweek cover story that grew out of the survey. The conclusion that the article draws in Newsweek is that Americans have become so focused on a very personal style of worship, that is, forging, quote, a direct relationship with God, that spiritual experience has begun to supplant dogma or teaching based on the authority of the Bible. Can a person forge a relationship with God apart from the Word of God? The question is one of the great fundamental questions of the ages. That is, can you know God? Can you really know spiritual things apart from a revelation? Humans are born illiterate, and even after they learn to talk and read, they, for the most part, are spiritually illiterate. In fact, they are spiritually illiterate. They form their concepts about God based on the culture and spiritual environment in which they are nurtured. As a general rule, Buddhists beget Buddhists, Hindus beget Hindus, Muslims beget Muslims, Jews beget Jews, and Christians beget Christians, and so it goes. There are, of course, exceptions. Proselytizing is one of the principal missions of most religions, in which they send out missionaries to try to convert people to their religion. Christianity has made inroads into virtually every culture on earth, and so have the other major religions made inroads into other cultures. But historically, the religions of the world are divided for the past several hundred years into three major areas, with Buddhism and Hinduism predominating in the Orient. Of course, there are many other forms of religion in the Orient, but basically all of them have the same idea that there is some kind of path that will eventually lead to a merging with the greater forces and the spirit world. Islam has predominated throughout the Near East, the Middle East, and into Eastern Europe to some degree. Of course, Christianity runs them close second and is first in some areas of Eastern Europe. And then you have Christianity predominating in the Western world. In what we now call a postmodern world, with air travel making it possible for people to quickly visit other countries and electronic communication, epitomized by television and transmission by satellite, where you can see people live and in color from any point on the globe, and then the internet, People are now able to access the cultural concepts and mores of people around the world with a click of a mouse. All of these things have brought about a mixing and merging of various concepts into the religious thought of the peoples of the world. Ironically, the Christian world has been more influenced by the religious concepts of the East than Christianity has influenced the religious beliefs of the Eastern religions. In addition to these factors, we continue to witness a perpetual assault on the veracity of the Bible by the so-called scientific world. Evolution is taught as a fact, thus denying God as the great creator of humankind. Science, in effect, teaches that there is no spirit world and that all things in the universe are formed and governed by natural laws. And, of course, many of the things in the universe are governed by, quote, natural laws. But who created the natural laws? Is there intelligent design in the universe? You know, David wrote in the Psalms concerning humankind that I am wonderfully and fearfully made, and the more that humans discover about humans and how wonderfully they are made, people begin to ask, and even some leading scientists, could this possibly be apart from, quote, intelligent design, where there is a great intelligent creator God who is responsible for the creation? Of course, the Bible makes it very clear that by him, through him, all things were created, and through him all things consist. God and Jesus Christ working hand in glove together, the one who became Jesus Christ, the Word, spoke, and these things came into being. So science teaches there is no spirit world and that all things in the universe are formed and governed by natural laws, but we know that someone had to design these natural laws. Yet the entertainment world, on the other hand, abounds with references to the supernatural. A very large percentage of the movies that have been produced in recent years portray some kind of natural, supernatural forces. The cartoons and movies that are produced for our children are filled with evil, supernatural characters such as ghosts, witches, fortune tellers, and other wicked characters. Sadly, in the mix of all of this is the fact that many prominent church leaders have been exposed as hypocrites who were more concerned with fleecing the flock than feeding the flock. Furthermore, many of the men and women who teach theology in the universities and seminaries don't really believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Yet there is something within the human psyche that yearns to transcend this mere mortal physical existence that causes him to reach for the stars, so to speak. In ancient times, when humans were for the most part illiterate, you didn't have books, no means of mass communication, they yearned to understand the how and what and why of their existence. So they turned to the heavens and made to themselves gods that were no gods. In other words, they made God into their own image. Are you making God into your image, your concept of God, apart from the revelation and authority of the Bible? Have you developed some kind of syncretic kind of religion where you have taken bits and parts from everything from philosophy to astrology to pseudoscience to the Bible to try to come up with some kind of coherent understanding of what life is all about? And in doing so, you make God into your own image of what you think that God should be like and what he is like. The prophet Jeremiah gives us an amazing description of the comparison between the gods made by man and the true God of the Bible. In Jeremiah 10, verse 1, "Hear you the word which the Eternal speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Eternal, learn not the way of the heathen." In other words, the nations who have not received the revelation. Now, Israel, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love Israel more than he does any other nation on the face of the earth. But he had to start somewhere. People ask, well, why did he start with Israel? Well, he had to start somewhere, so he started with one of the least, most insignificant nations on the face of the earth, and made them eventually into a great nation and revealed himself to them, and they were given the responsibility of preserving his word, the Bible. And they faithfully did that. So God says, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. You really, your destiny is not tied up in the signs of heaven. Astrology is false, it's a damnable, abominable, lying, false teaching. The heathen, the nations, are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. Here is the origin of the Christmas tree, it's right in your Bible. They deck it with silver, with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, that is, carried to wherever they need to go, because they cannot go on their own. God says, be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also it is in them to do good. They are no gods. So the fact that people would cut a tree and decorate it, and then worship it and look upon it in awe, is absolutely astounding. And then later, when Christianity was perverted, people then began to attach the birth of Christ to the Christmas tree. The pagans would celebrate in the winter time, the winter solstice, when the sun began to disappear from them, and the days became shorter and the nights longer, that they would have various ceremonies in which they were hopeful that the sun would come back to them, and then in the spring they would celebrate various fertility rites, hoping that they would have good crops and so on and be blessed for the next year. The heavens cannot control your destiny, and neither can any other thing made of wood, hay, stubble, stone. Only God is the one who will be able to control what you will become in the ultimate sense. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to see those who have made God into their own image and what the results are, but on the other hand, the good news of what you can do, because you can be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. If you would really like to understand who God is, what God is, and his very nature, then you need to write for or call for, better yet, our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. 1-888-886-5614. I'll repeat it in just a few minutes. Call for our free booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. What is the real story of Jesus Christ? Who is he? Is he the Son of God? And did God send him to the earth for a great purpose? And what is the purpose of God? And why are we here? So at the same time, when you call and ask for the booklet, and this is a full length, it's not just a booklet, it is a book on the life of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. We will also send you the booklet, What is Your Destiny? Why were you born? Why are you here? You were born for a great transcendental purpose. Become the very sons and daughters of God in the family of God, and to rule and reign with God in Christ on the earth. No, you're not going to heaven. The Don Williams song, he doesn't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate. Well, heaven is not the reward of the saved to begin with. We're caught up into the air for a period of time, and the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place in the heavens, but we come to earth and rule and reign on the earth, as we shall clearly see later in the program. So to receive the free literature, all you have to do is call the toll-free number. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. When we ended the first segment of the program, we were reading from Jeremiah chapter 10, where Jeremiah is describing the gods that men have made, and the fact that they worship these gods who really have no power. Let's continue now in Jeremiah 10 and verse 6. For as much as there is not any like unto you, O Eternal, you are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of nations? For to you does it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto you. Yet men have made images of God, and they have rejected the true God. Jeremiah 10:8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen in the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They're all the work of cunning men. They're beautiful, they look good, and all of that. But the Eternal is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain and brings forth the winds out of his treasures. Yes, God is the God, and all the other gods that men have made and men have worshipped are no gods at all. The inescapable fact is clear. Humans are left with two alternatives. One, accept the God that is revealed in the Bible, who has revealed himself through many infallible proofs, answered prayer, fulfilled prophecy, the historical record itself of how this prophecy was fulfilled, the very life of Jesus. So you have to either, one, accept God, the revealed God of the Bible, or secondly, accept a God or gods that are the product of human imagination. Since humans are physical, finite, mortal, subject to sin and death, they are spiritually illiterate apart from revelation. Now, there have been many systems that have tried to answer the great questions of life. False religion tried to answer it, and Satan is always there, deceiving the peoples of the earth. Philosophy has tried to answer the great questions of life, asking more questions than they answer. Science purports to answer the great questions, but there is only one system that can truly answer the great questions of life when it comes to the great moral and spiritual questions of the ages, and that is true religion, the truth of God from the pages of your Bible, and not what someone has dreamed up, not some dogma or doctrine that people have dreamed up that they have tried to foist off on human beings, not that, but the truth of the Bible. Science denies revelation, so we cannot expect science to lead us to the true God. Even the major religions of the world, with the exception of Christianity, is not looking for the advent of a great spiritual Messiah. They're looking for a great spiritual leader to come on the world scene and lead the world into a new age. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. Hindus are looking for Krishna. Islam is looking for the Grand Mahdi. The Jews are looking for the Messiah, but none of these religions are looking for a spirit being, the Son of God, to come back to the earth, great power, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're looking for a human leader, not the very Son of God filled with power. The peoples of the world have come to a sad state in their spiritual lives. They have made God over into their image of God. They hear this or that idea, and they form their own concept of how they think God is, picking and choosing a little bit here and there, but it conforms to what they think, what they want to hear, so that they feel justified and their conscience is salved, and they think that they're all right, and they have some vague idea that regardless as to what happens when they die, they're going to continue to live. So they make God over into their own image. They go to church, they listen to the minister, but they only perk up when he talks about current events or tells a gut-wrenching emotional story that they can identify with. When he preaches the pure truth, their eyes roll back in their heads, and they begin to daydream and think about, where will we eat lunch and what will we do with the rest of the day? In other words, they ignore the only real source of spiritual power. The Apostle Paul graphically describes the condition of modern-day churchgoers in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh yeah, we can go on the talk shows and anyone begins to really talk about God and that which is good, they're not received as well as those who are willing to accept anyone in any kind of lifestyle. So those who are good are made fun of, and those who are evil are cheered. He goes on to write, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Oh, they may attend church and they may do all kinds of good works, as some of the Hollywood types do. You know, there's a verse there in Matthew 7 that talks about, in that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all kinds of good works in your name? And he will look to them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, meaning lawlessness. In other words, they did do good works in one sense, but they live lawless lives themselves. You know what the biblical definition of sin is? The biblical definition of sin is found in 1 John 3:4, which says that sin is the transgression of the law. What law? The great immutable spiritual law of God. So having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power thereof? It is the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be transformed in the very image of God and Jesus Christ. You cannot make God over into your image. God has to make you over into His image through the power of His Spirit. In the next chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, Paul lays it on the line to the ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All 68% of the people don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. They believe, quote, that good people of other faiths will go to heaven. Well, the reward of the saved is not heaven in the first place, as we've already mentioned. We'll see clearly a little later on. He goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, they don't want to hear the word of God. They want to hear smooth things, or they want to hear about the geopolitical scene of the day, the current societal problems of the day. They want to pick up a rallying cause and go after that, but they don't want to be transformed into the image of God. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Have you turned away your ears from the truth and turned to fables? Do you have itching ears? Or will you hear the Word of God? Will you open the pages of your Bible and see for yourself what God has to say. Have you made God over into your own image? Have you denied the only source of true revelation, the Spirit and the Word of God? Note what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. The Dalai Lama of Tibet, who recently spoke in the United States, does not know the deep things of God. Neither does any other spiritual leader that is not directly moved by the Spirit and the Word of the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great God that is revealed in the pages of the Bible. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You cannot know the true God apart from revelation, and God reveals himself through the pages of the Bible. You can know God. You can come to understand why you are on the earth. You were created for a great transcendental purpose. The God of this world is blinding the minds and hearts of the peoples of the world to the glorious truth of the gospel, but you don't have to remain blinded. You can come into the light. You can know the truth. The truth can set you free from the dogma, superstitions, and the ignorance of human beings. These people have made God over into their own image. But you can let God make you over into his image. The Apostle John was inspired to provide us with a true revelation of why God sent Jesus into the world. In 1 John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. The only way that you will ever have the power to become a son of God is through Jesus Christ. Christianity is the only religion that teaches you that you can become a son of God. But even most of Christianity doesn't really understand what God is, who God is, and what is his purpose. Neither do they understand who man is, and what is his purpose. God has made it possible through Jesus Christ for humans to be reconciled to him so that we may receive the Holy Spirit, the very essence of God, and become partakers of the divine nature. Just as we are begotten by our physical fathers, God the Father begets us with the Spirit so we can become the literal sons of God. The word of God means what it says when it says we are sons of God. Note the great summary of this by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 14 through 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And what is our ultimate destiny? John reveals it to us in the pages of our Bible, and he gets the revelation from God the Father through Jesus Christ, through an angel who sent it to him. Revelation 5:10, and he has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I hope you want to be made in the image of God and become a king and priest. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, What is Your Destiny? In Jesus Christ, The Real Story, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. World News and Prophecy, this is Donald Ward.